KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Good morning. It is time for Inside Petaluma.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson. And happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
We made it through another week.
Yeah, made it through another week. Okay, so I think we should get started since it's probably going to be a very full hour. We have a guest today. Surprise. Okay, so I want to introduce Natalie Matei, who's Senior Real Estate Manager for Safeway. And Natalie joined Safeway's Northern California division in 2000 and has 22 years experience in commercial real estate. She's responsible for new store and gas station development based in Pleasanton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Natalie oversaw the acquisition of the Leghorn Plaza in late 2016 and transitioned into the Petaluma Safeway gas station project at Washington Square in 2015. My equipment's talking. Anyway, sorry about that. Let me finish here. Prior to joining Safeway, Natalie served in real estate for AMC Theaters and Office Depot, then as project manager with a commercial real estate developer. And she is a graduate of the University of California, Santa Barbara, and holds a degree in political science and Spanish.
Good Welcome. Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for being here. So, we're talking about the Safeway gas station in Petaluma today, right?
We sure are.
Yeah. We did that.
Big issue.
We did that last week as well. We did have, as a guest, the opposition, and who is it? It's No Gas Here.
Yes. Here.
Yes. So today we want to hear the other side. So we want to give us a little history.
Sure, absolutely. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to come and answer questions, give a little bit of background, and then talk a little bit about. I did listen into the show last week when you had Adrian Saslow, who I've met a couple of times now. And so, again, just really appreciate the opportunity. So, so Safeway, at the kind of the from 30,000 feet, we started working. The idea came up in 2012. You guys probably remember when the actual Safeway store was Mervyn's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember Mervyn's, the whole chain went bankrupt, and so there were a handful of Mervyn's around the Bay Area that Safeway that were in the same or nearby shopping centers of Safeway grocery stores. And so in a few different cases, we ended up relocating smaller Safeway stores into the Mervyn's, which were, you know, nice shapes. It turned out to be an excellent shape for a grocery store. And then the parking lots, particularly, Mervyn's had these parking lots that were really huge by today's standards and really built for Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
So in a couple of them, in Campbell and in Pleasant Hill, we ended up adding gas stations in the parking lot. We thought, okay, this is the synergy and the space that these parking lots allow is the perfect combo. So started dialogue with the property owner of Washington Square and back in 2012 and went into the city late spring, I think. So, yeah, we're going back some time. And it was my predecessor at the time, Mary Davi, who was, 35-year veteran of the grocery business, went in with representatives from Fulcrum, who's the property owner, to meet with city staff. And the discussion was, it's permitted use, you know, probably 4 to 6 months to get to planning commission. And, you know, here's what you need to do to get your application in. And so then over, you know, 2012 to 2013, we worked on a lease deal with the property owner for the retail pad parcel out on the corner there. And he, based on the feedback from the city that, you know, it was going to be a pretty quick and easy deal, given it was permitted use, started relocating tenants and making arrangements to have the pad available for us. And then mid-2013 is when suddenly things, I think August of 13, at some city council hearings, local gas station owners came out. And of course, we're very concerned about Safeway's entry into the market. As you guys know, there's not an affordable gas station in or gas station model in Petaluma. Roanoke Park has Costco. Santa Rosa has Costco. Safeway has gas stations in Novato and Santa Rosa. Sebastopol has Rotten Robbie.
There's that, what is that gas club thing that's like just south of Petaluma? Is that something you looked at also?
By the old truck station.
I think I bought gas there once, but I was not a member, so I just paid the regular price. But they supposedly give good deals. Are you aware of that one?
I'm very aware of that owner, actually. He's actually been involved in many lawsuits against Safeway.
Oh, okay.
Based on our fuel rewards program.
Got it. So I guess just to cut to the chase,
sure.
Are you saying that you'll be more competitive with it? Like if I were a customer of his, would I be more apt to go to Safeway and be getting a better deal? Or are you more kind of in line with what his pricing is? Or is that something you don't know specifically?
Probably the latter.
Okay.
You know, no one can tell. No one knows what the price of milk is going to be tomorrow. And no one knows what the price of gas is going to be tomorrow. You know, if you look...
So we better buy it now.
I mean, historically, I mean, if you look at the history, because, again, we can't foretell the future. We can only look at the historical record. Looking historically at Petaluma, Petaluma is a hot spot.
Mm-hmm.
So the historical pricing of gas in Petaluma has been much higher than surrounding communities. Mm-hmm. And the lawsuits that I mentioned, I think, gosh, over about a 5-6 year period, there were 7 lawsuits filed against Safeway on our fuel rewards,
mm-hmm.
trying to indicate that our fuel rewards were illegal. So price in gas stations is super sensitive and highly regulated and mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. So there were efforts to attack us on that front. A lot of the people that were involved in those lawsuits happened to either live or work in Petaluma. So I think there's more going on here than just a gas station entitlement for permitted use in an existing shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are also, you know, there's been a history of really trying to go after the Safeway Fuel Rewards program.
I've actually been following this, you know, for quite a few years, not in detail, but it seems as though there's big money behind this. And when I look at the no gas here, they started off as a grassroots effort, but the comments that were made to me was they were going to become a PAC, they were going to take this nationwide, and it's not really just about Petaluma anymore. This is the direction that this group has stated that they're going to be going.
Right.
And
well,
that
they actually, she didn't. She said that they were, when I asked if she was going to file as a political action committee.
She said not a PAC.
She said no, not a PAC, a 501c3.
Yeah.
Is what she said.
Yeah.
And then she said it was going to go nationwide.
Yeah. So did she tell you something different?
Yeah, that they're going to be going.
That's not in our interview.
Well, it was not. No, not in our interview.
Okay.
This is off the interview.
Okay.
And you know, when you start talking about becoming a PAC, you know, you're talking a lot of money that comes in. You don't know where the money comes from. And you're starting to look at this campaign, and it's becoming way too slick for grassroots. The signs are expensive. The door hangers that were just put out, there was about 3,000 door hangers put out. They're very expensive door hangers. Those were not, you know, I've been in politics. I know how much it costs.
But do we know what their donations have been and how many people? I mean,
we don't know anything.
So why are we assuming they're...
Because it was stated that this was grassroots. It
right.
was 5, 10, you know, $20, $100 donations is what
right.
I saw on their site.
Okay.
And that is not a lot of money to be putting out 3,000 door hangers. Who put those out? If they were just put out overnight, we know when we go campaigning ourselves, normally the split campaigns hire people to put those out. You don't have enough volunteers to do that. And so we don't know. There's a lot of there's more questions than I have.
I think it's good to ask for questions of funding sources for sure. But, I mean, my own experience when I ran, I didn't do slick mailers because they were very expensive.
Right.
But other candidates did.
We know where they got their money for that, too.
Well, yeah, one of them's running for mayor, and all the money's been coming from donations, mostly from individuals. And I'm talking about Teresa Barrett, for example.
Yeah.
So
But Teresa Barrett doesn't have a big billboard on Washington Street.
Right, of course, and neither does No Guest. Not here. I'm just saying we're speculating. And I wouldn't assume simply because they have a nice-looking flyer that money didn't necessarily come from donations. We just don't know. Maybe more transparency in where the money's coming from is important.
Well, and I think that's what it is. We really need to have more transparency, and that doesn't seem to be coming forward. It seems as though they're calling themselves grassroots, but yet they're talking about taking this nationwide. You don't take a grassroots effort nationwide until you have some money backing you. And it seems as though with the past lawsuits, which kind of were Petaluma affiliated, they were gas station owners that don't want to have competition in your community because they own these businesses. And so,
which Natalie had just alluded to a second ago, in that is not new stuff that's going on.
Well, it stands to reason. If you have a business and you're worried about a competitor coming in, that you might be interested in not having that happen. So it's not a crazy idea that might be happening.
Let them come forward.
Sure.
Don't use a shadow group to get your message out. And that's what the concern is that this group is actually not really grassroots. Because when you want to go nationwide and you state that, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I think we can agree that it's speculation.
Yes.
But,
and we can also agree that they don't appear to be as transparent as Safeway has been. And this is a conversation we had before we came on air.
Sure.
We talked a little bit about transparency. And so tell us, Natalie, what it is that you're doing to be transparent in this process.
Yeah, absolutely. And just backing up real quick on the funding, the No Gas here does have a GoFundMe online, and I think it's at around $2,500. So, and I'm sure they've probably had some genuine donations in addition to that. When I kind of start to do the math in my head of everything that's been happening in the last couple of weeks, it seems much, much greater than $2,500. But for Safeway, we are totally transparent. Who's funding our campaign, our project effort? I don't like to call it a campaign because it's an entitlement on a permitted use. So our project is Safeway and Fulcrum, the property owner. You know, we're the two vested parties. And we started a project website, PetalumaSafewayGas.com, in both English and Spanish. So we've been posting everything up onto that. We're also on Facebook. We've had a lot of activity on the Facebook page. You can find it by support Petaluma Safeway Gas or Petaluma Safeway Gas. We've also been keeping a running email list, of interested parties. And also, when the appeal was filed, even before, we've been reaching out to neighbors. Let me start from the appeal. After the appeal, I reached out to a various appellants. Some have responded back. I have met with Adrienne Saslow and her husband. She invited me into her home, which I greatly appreciated. And we kind of closed our time together that day with, she said to me, well, if nothing else, I hope that we can look at each other. So we're both mom. I'm a mom.
Sure.
She's a mom. As humans.
Yep.
And I said, absolutely. I do hope that's the case. And in my experience, you read my bio there. I've been doing this a long time. Yep. I've probably met with hundreds of neighbors in their homes, in me everywhere. And I've never had a situation when it's been a genuine situation, a genuine entitlement or land use question, we've always gotten through. Mm-hmm. And every time, it's been wonderful. It's basically been mostly on the grocery store. I haven't gone through an entitlement on a gas station like this before.
Mm-hmm.
But on times when it's been a grocery store or shopping center, the most wonderful moment has been when the stores open, the doors open, and folks that originally I was on the other side of the table,
mm-hmm.
when they're the first ones through the door and they're smiling and we shake hands or hug, you know, I've become friends with neighbors and community members over time. So just having that experience of what it really feels like from a genuine standpoint to be on the other side of the table from someone and then working through real compromise, real working together on it. There may be elements of that here. I'm not getting the same feel that I have over the last 22 years of my career. There are elements here that don't seem to be adding up.
Just to back to the whole pricing thing, because obviously that's mm-hmm. that's kind of the goal from your perspective, is to bring gas at a lower price to residents of Petaluma, correct? Whoever else wants to come.
My goal is to open a Safeway gas station.
Right.
And frankly, what anybody else, this is an important note I'll share with mm-hmm. you. What anyone else charges is absolutely 110% their business.
Sure.
We have no public statement. I've had people try to lure this out of me, hopefully mm-hmm. for like an 8th lawsuit against us. how are other people going to price their gas after you open? Or what is this? What are that? Frankly, I mean this in the most respectful manner. I don't care. It's up to them. That's their business.
That's actually not what I was getting at. I'm just getting at the point that's on the website about this project bringing more affordable gas. That's a point that you make. And the only reason I bring that up is I'm looking at this GasBuddy.com site, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yep.
And just today, because I hear this a lot, that Petaluma's gas is mm-hmm. disproportionately more expensive. But actually, if you look at it right now, I see a low price of $3.57 per gallon in Petaluma. North of us off of 101, it's $3.79. You go to Roanoke Park, it's $3.75 a gallon. There's one at $3.40, so that's a little bit cheaper. $3.79 for Novato. Interestingly, that one that we talked about, the gas club thing, isn't even on this.
It's closed right now.
Oh, it is closed. Yeah, that makes sense. I can't go to it. But I guess what I'm saying is, on average, what I know this is hard to say because mm-hmm. we don't know what the price will be tomorrow, you mentioned, but can you just give us a sense of what the average cost savings would be for someone going to the Safeway gas station?
I can only share on historical records.
Okay.
You know, on a go-forward basis, it's not something I can estimate because no one knows. It's pricing going forward.
I was talking to a woman a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this. And she buys her gas in Santa Rosa at mm-hmm. the Safeway gas station. And she said that she can save up to $1 a gallon, depending how much she purchases mm-hmm. the groceries. And I think she said it for every like $100, there was a discount. Or that seemed to be a magic number when she was talking. And mm-hmm. so this is what she stated to me, and that's why she goes to Safeway and why mm-hmm. she purchase her food, mm-hmm. you know, her groceries.
Right.
And then she buys her gas, and then she was saying she gets like a buck off a gallon. So there's got to be a connection between buying and reducing.
So she would be a member, it sounds like she would be a member of the Fuel Rewards program. So it's a program open to anyone. You have to register for it. So I'm glad the question's coming up because it's something that I've heard out in social media that's been misrepresented. Safeway's prices, when you drive up to our gas station, you see the price on the sign on the street, that price is open to anyone.
Right.
So whereas with Costco, you have to be a member in order to buy.
Yeah.
For us, it's open to anyone, and what you see on the price sign is the price for everyone. Then separate, we have our fuel rewards program, which is an extension of our club card program. So in very, you know, in layman's terms, it's marketing, like a coupon.
So if I'm filling up at the Safeway gas station, I see the price if I weren't a member. Does it also show me what the price would be if I were using a Safeway club card? Or is that just completely varied depending on how much I use the card?
Correct.
So I can't go to the station and see, you know, some gas stations will say, here's the cash price, here's the credit card price. You're saying you don't do that at Safeway. You just say, here's the price, and then behind the scenes, you might get a better discount if you get a club card, or am I misunderstanding it?
No, there is cash and credit, just street pricing for everybody.
Okay.
And then if you have a club card that you've registered for the fuel rewards program, then you can, if you follow the program rules, then you can be eligible for, you know, effectively coupons.
Okay, but if I go to the pump, there's nothing telling me there you're going to save X number of cents per gallon if I use my club card.
Normally when I go, they ask you to punch your zip code in.
Correct.
So you punch your zip code in.
Or swipe your card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they'll say...
Or phone number, actually.
Yeah, with your rewards number.
They ask for zip code, and then they ask for your phone number for the rewards card. And then, like, mine will just pop up, if I've shopped at Safeway, 20 cents reduction in a gallon. If I haven't been shopping there, then I pay regular price.
And sometimes it's 10 cents per gallon. Let's say you've only met this threshold. So
I got it.
It's
yeah.
10 cents a gallon.
I'm
off, once you hit the threshold.
Yeah, sorry I'm ignorant on this because I don't use the Safeway club card. Actually, my wife has one, and I've just never used it. I've gone to gas stations before and tried to type it in. It's, I don't know, for some reason it's not working for me when I use it. I talked to my wife about it and using something incorrect. Maybe it has our old zip code or something. But okay, thanks for clarifying that. So I wouldn't actually know what the savings is just as a layman, not being a Safeway club person. I would just know there's this vague savings I could get if I had a club card depending on how much I spend in Safeway. Is that?
Well, and if you're signed up for the program, you can download the app.
Okay.
And then you know going into it what your savings are going to be and when they expire.
Right.
And also then, you know, if you really want to be, I call myself coupon mom, you know, if you're really working the system, you know, if you've had big shops and you've got a big savings coming, do you want to do it when you're topping off with like 6 gallons, or is it when you need to do 20, you know, run it down to empty and then do a big fill?
Right.
I think this is murky. I think there might be a lot of people that are under the misimpression that they'll just be able to pull up to the Safeway gas station and get a better price on gas. And what you're actually saying is that's not true. They would have to actually be enrolled in the program. And
no, I guess what I'm saying is historically, we do tend to be the affordable gas guy. And here's why I'm not evading the question, but please just know. Safeway's been involved in 7 lawsuits. Specifically on gas pricing and the fuel rewards program. And the project in front of us is an entitlement, a SPAR approval, site plan and design review approval for permitted use. So the use of our project isn't up for approval, just the design is.
Got it. I'm going by your PetalumaSafewayGas.com/benefits page, and the first bullet on it is affordability, and it says, now more than ever, Petaluma residents need help managing the ever-rising cost of living. The Safeway gas station will provide all Petaluma residents much-needed access to affordable gas, as well as additional savings to Safeway shoppers that register for the rewards for gas or groceries. So this statement, to me, says, even if I'm not a rewards card holder. I'm still going to save if I go to Safeway. That's what this is saying. Is that correct? Or?
Based on the historical pricing in Petaluma, that is absolutely correct.
Okay.
I think you need to go shopping at Safeway and kind of use the reward card once to understand how it works.
It's an important distinction because this claim on the site is that even if I don't have a card, I'm going to benefit by buying gas there. So a lot of residents are under the impression that that's true. But if that's true, then what is the actual average price? Because when I go to this GasBuddy.com mm-hmm. page, I'm comparing to other prices in other cities, and we're about average. It's not, at least today. I know this varies every day, and it's important not to just go with historic data, because we can pick, you know, days where it might be more expensive in Petaluma and focus on that. But, you know, residents ought to be looking at this all the time, I imagine, if they really want to know what they're saving and what they're not. Anyway.
I think they're pretty clear on the price of gas from comments that have been made and postings on Facebook. It seems as though people are quite aware of what the cost of gas is, and maybe to some people, 20 or 40 cents is not a big deal. But to a lot of people, it is a big deal.
Right.
But I'm saying, I think there's an impression sometimes, and if you actually go to this site, it'll show you that that's not really the case. I mean, today I can buy gas for $3.57 a gallon at a gas station in Petaluma. If I go up to Rohnert Park, there's a station that's $3.75. There is one further up from Rohnert Park for $3.40, so that would be a savings of 17 cents a gallon. But again, just today, it may be different tomorrow, right. But today it's not showing that Petaluma is appreciably higher.
So that $3.57 is the lowest in Petaluma today?
That's what it says on this, yeah.
So then where are the other 15, 13 state, 12 stations?
Oh, what are their prices?
Yeah, $3.57 is the lowest.
I mean, some go to $3.83, which would be 4 cents higher than what we see north of 101. If we go for the highest one, $3.83, that is higher than the other gas stations in the vicinity. And that one, that particular gas station, I'm trying to find the actual one, I have to zoom in.
Well, you know, I think it's fair to say that people want cheaper gas.
Sure.
What we're dicing and slicing here
is what the savings is.
Yeah.
I'm just getting at what the savings
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I think, okay, so we have people here that want the cheaper gas.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants a bargain.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out.
On the flip side, there are people here that don't want this gas station for a number of reasons. That Adrian brought up last week.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Well, I'd like to bring up some of the other issues that have really come up because of this gas station.
Right.
And because I've said this before, I've started to look at ADA in Petaluma. And West Petaluma is getting a lot of American Disability. We're getting streets repaired. We're getting curb repairs because there was a lawsuit on the west side of town. The east side is not part of that. And yet if you start walking around the east side of town, which I started doing with friends who are disabled, you find that there's a lot of discrepancies. And so with this project, there are some benefits that come with the project. And a lot of those benefits are improvements for people just walking to the school itself. I want to talk specifically about McDowell School.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are dropping their children off on Maria Drive, and yet the documents that they're saying, mm-hmm. it's so dangerous there.
Right.
So I don't understand why the school is not having a safe route way for parents to drop their children off, which they should be dropping them off
mm-hmm.
in the school parking lot, not on Maria Drive.
Right. Well, I think it's the preschool is where they're dropping them off.
It is the preschool.
Yeah, it is. They've got their door facing
one of the
on the street.
Right, yeah. Facing Maria Drive. And so there seems to be discrepancies. If you go down on Maria Drive, the city plops a transit site mm-hmm. on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a transit site that veers in to get three large buses off the street. So I want to know when the school and the city are going to work together to make these improvements, because if it's so dangerous on Maria Drive at this point, somebody's not doing their job, and the school doesn't. It seems to be that this is about opposing this gas station, and do people really care about can you walk on your sidewalk if you're in a wheelchair, or a mom pushing a stroller, or a dad, or a parent in gender?
They may care about both. I don't know. But what it does say here is that one of the benefits of the proposed gas station is that you would rebuild the East Side Transit Center, pulling buses off Maria Drive. Is there some connection to that and in improving the walkability?
Absolutely, because you're going to have the transits off the off the street.
Sure.
You're going to have sidewalks that are up to ADA standards.
So that's a huge benefit.
And so there are some benefits. And then the other thing is, when people talk about their, it's basically scare tactics, in my opinion, when you're talking people are going to get leukemia, cancer, and asthma. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why some of the children in the school have asthma. They could have been born. It was a lung problem when they were born. Or it could be maybe they have mold in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a problem with the building that they're in? It's a very old building.
Yeah.
So to throw that that people are going to die of leukemia, cancer, and your children are going to get asthma, I think it are scare tactics, and that's not the way I like to run a campaign.
I think people are obviously they're scared about it and the impacts. Whether those are justified or not, I don't know. We have to.
There's a 59-page report there, and a lot of the report is just documents thrown in there.
So
what about this?
One of the other benefits that's listed here is estimated $400,000 in additional tax generated to the city of Petaluma, and that's significant. You know, that's some money back to Petaluma, which is a good thing. The question I though have on that is, when we talk about this as new revenue, that assumes that, I guess, the people that are going to be shopping at this gas station weren't already shopping in Petaluma for gas. Because otherwise, we're just moving it. Instead of it going through the existing gas stations, it would be going through Safeway. So I'm actually wondering how they figure out that that's actually new revenue versus the revenue now that's going to be generated from Safeway that was already being generated elsewhere. And the reason that's an important point, I think, because if it actually is new revenue, that would imply that we're either getting, it's becoming sort of a magnet for other customers outside of Petaluma to come to. So that would be new revenue, right? It wouldn't be here anyway. But I think the understanding, if I remember correctly, was that you actually think most of the business is going to be happening from people that are already in Petaluma. So I guess I'm a little bit confused as to how we arrive at extra $400,000 in revenue if it's not simply moving the existing revenue that's here to Safeway. If it's actually new revenue, it would imply that new business is coming from elsewhere, or am I misunderstanding it?
Well, I think you bring up a lot of good points, and there are two items that I want to touch on.
Yeah.
So the one being, where are people coming from?
Yeah.
And then the second, or the first one being the 400,000, mm-hmm. and then where they were coming from.
Yeah.
So we know from our surveys and a recent one this summer that 52% of people in Petaluma are leaving Petaluma to fill up.
Okay.
So they live here, they want to shop here, and they are specifically avoiding Petaluma gas stations.
How did you get that figure? I'm just curious. Seems like a hard one to find. I mean, is it polling or surveys?
All of the above.
Okay.
Yes. So the second item being our experience has been that people come into the grocery store, and then as part of their trip to the shopping center, they're going to the grocery store. They may be going over to the vet. They may be going to Pete's to meet some people. And if there's a gas station, they're visiting the gas station. Our traffic study has, in the most conservative analysis possible, has not taken all that into consideration. It's looked at it in the absolute worst-case scenario. But we know from having 400 of these nationwide that there is going to be cross-shopping.
Right.
So to your question of, is it going to be people coming in from surrounding cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, suddenly everyone's getting off the off-ramp at East
right.
Washington to come to the Safeway gas station. So in our traffic study, you can use standard traffic data. It's called ITE, so we're kind of delving into the technical part.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use actual data from real gas stations. They call it empirical data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. We used the two Mervyn sites that I mentioned earlier, the Campbell and the Pleasant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We used actual data from collected data from their traffic. We also took counts, real live counts on South McDowell and mm-hmm. and Maria and studied everything. So we know that everything's been captured, and the traffic studies all work. We also know that in practice, the vast majority of people that are going to use the gas station are going to either be already in the shopping center mm-hmm. or would be what's called a pass-by trip. You just happen to be driving...
Right, on 101 and then...
No, or on South McDowell okay. or on East Washington, and it's like, you know, we're going to visit the in-laws in Windsor, and, you know, we need to get gas, and right. I'm going to stop at the closest gas station, and here's the gas station I'm going to stop.
Right.
So, again...
That's how I buy gas, by the way. I wait until I'm on empty, and the closest one I can get to is pretty much where I end up.
Well, hopefully after you talk to your wife and get the whole club card thing figured out, you know, next time you're at a Safeway gas station.
Hopefully I'll be driving the EV more if I'm driving, but that's a whole other story.
You know, that's an important thing because I absolutely respect there are people in this discussion that are 110% opposed to anything fossil fuel.
Right.
And that I have to respect. Mm-hmm. And, I can never convince anyone otherwise.
And let's address that. It mentions here that you're going to have an electrical vehicle charging station. Do you have information on that? Is it going to be one station? Is it a few?
It's currently one.
Okay.
And I am a complete supporter of adding a whole bunch more into the Safeway lot. Absolutely.
I've never seen it on the lot.
Well, No,
there's not one right now.
Oh. But aren't they, with the renovation of the old Safeway that's going on now, aren't there going to be fueling stations in the parking lot?
Oh, you mean EV chargers?
EV chargers.
Actually, that's a good question. I'm not 100%
sure that the city regulates that and makes sure that that's part of the project. So that's why when we're talking about one with the station, I think we need to make sure that there are other mm-hmm. on the site itself, which I'm 99.9% sure that there are.
It says it on the website. It doesn't say how many. I just thought maybe there was. I'm sure
there's
more.
Well,
the
Safeway percentage
is separate from the renovation to which is going to be a Planet Fitness and a party store.
Okay.
So
yeah. It's interesting. There's an asterisk by it, but I actually can't find the corresponding comment. So. Anyway, good to know. I'd be curious how many are going to be there and what brand. Are they going to be the charge point type? Because they have their own little cards also.
Well, I'd like to know more about the amount of mm-hmm. gas. There seems to be a discrepancy between 8, which you have been approved,
It's 8 of the stations, and each one has 2.
No. We're talking about the number, the 25 or 27 with BACMED.
Amount of gallons.
Yeah, I'd like to talk more about that because there seems to be a discrepancy of how many gallons are being approved for this station, mm-hmm. and the discrepancies with surrounding stations. What are their numbers?
Right.
Versus this, if you could go over that.
I think both of the items, there's been a lot of confusion mm-hmm. and false comments made both on the amount of gallons with Bay Area Air Quality Management District, or BACMED, and then also the pumps. You know, is it a 16-megapump gas station where you have visions of truck stops in the middle of Stockton?
And it's 8 with 2.
It's 8 four. With 2. And so if you've seen the Chevron on Lakeville across from the Goodwill,
yeah.
That's the same number of pumps.
Okay.
And actually, that parcel is larger. It's a larger gas station than what we're proposing in their little convenience store. Their little kiosk is mm-hmm. 4,000 square feet. Ours is 697. So that's, five times as large. So there's been this image of the mega pumper. You know, mm-hmm. this is the truck stop when you're on 5 or 99.
I hope we don't get those odors. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
It's not from the gas. Not that type of gas.
No. So, I mean, there's definitely been a wonderful technique of just repeat, 16 pump, and it's creating this image which isn't accurate. So the comp is to look at the Chevron next to Goodwill and know that that's larger than what we've proposed and has 10% of the landscaping that we've proposed. But then, you know, back to this question of how many gallons we're going to pump. And in listening to your show last week, Adrian was talking about our permit application to BACMED that we requested 25 million gallons of, and that's how many gallons you would be allowed to pump, I think, on a whatever the basis, annual or what have you basis. And that we have, even though our application with the city talks about 8.5 million gallons, that there must be some secret plan to get to 25. So to put 25 million gallons in perspective, I think the busiest Costco in the entire country, or the busiest gas station in the entire country, is probably 15 million gallons. No one ever reaches 25 million. It's not humanly possible. I don't even know if these truck stops get the mega truck stops in the, you know, in the middle of the desert reach those numbers. So the truth of the matter is, when we submitted our application, we put TBD. We left it blank. And so BACMED did their stuff and issued us the right to pump up to 25 million. That's what they granted us based on their analysis. So they said, you guys are in the clear up to 25 million.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. However, and we're fully transparent on this, when we do the traffic analysis, we can only do up to 8.5 million for the traffic to work. So that's what our application and our processing has been all about. So there have been a lot of recent attacks on the 25 million number, and it's been very misrepresented. But
it's permitted up to that. It's not right. That you're intending to do that. It's just you've been approved.
Well, just so we can put it in perspective, how many gallons does Novato and Santa Rosa do?
Or in the Chevron station that exists on Washington Street.
But this, I specifically want to know the Safeway. Novato, Santa Rosa, what are they doing? Do you know?
Well, so I'll tell you, the Chevron in the shopping center is permitted up to 9.3 million. So they're permitted to do more than we are. And Planning Commission on June 26th, they made a condition of approval that they were going to cap us at 8.5. I don't think a cap has ever been placed on a gas station from a municipality. So that's, we're locked there. As far as what the other gas stations are doing, I'm not evading the question. It is proprietary.
Right.
So businesses, the grocery stores are always very protective of what their volumes are. Gas stations are as well. And actually, at the June 26th Planning Commission, Commissioner Wolpert was trying to get me to talk about Sonoma.
Yeah.
What are we doing in Sonoma?
Yeah.
And that's proprietary.
Because it didn't go through. There was a similar plan in Sonoma, but it didn't get approved. Is that the context?
Actually, no. And I was completely caught off guard because it was apples and oranges. Because
Bill did ask that question.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And when he did, it sent a red flag up for me. Like, this isn't the time and place to be talking about Sonoma, so why are we? So... we had been exploring we have an existing grocery store in Sonoma.
Yeah.
And we were exploring an expansion of the grocery store and adding in a gas station. And so that discussion has not, it's still out there.
I'm not Bill, so I wouldn't know, but when I watched the meeting, the sense I got is he just wanted to know for comparative reasons, you know, that was there a similar plan as he was aware of that didn't go through, and what were the main obstacles? And I think he just was looking at it as a comparison between another city in Sonoma County. Again, I'm not Bill, so I wouldn't know. But it was just interesting.
It was interesting because actually, when we started doing outreach and started more in-depth conversations with the city of Sonoma on the gas station, some of the local gas franchisees came out, and of course we're not, we're opposed. One of them has property interest here in Petaluma. And one thing I learned the day after the Planning Commission hearing, a couple of hours before the commission hearing on the 26th, back at our corporate headquarters, our press folks had a press inquiry from Sonoma. So I learned that the next day. It kind of was like, okay, so the Commissioner Wolpert is asking me about Sonoma. It has nothing to do here. You know, I'm sure the gas guys in the city of Sonoma would love to know what we're doing and are trying to get me on the record to talk about our plans. And I think getting the press inquiry was a little bizarre as well. So I don't know. It just, the whole thing, I think there was more to that interaction that I had with him than just review of a permitted use application in Petaluma. That's my long story on it.
Just to be clear, are you saying that Safeway is still involved in pursuing a gas station in Sonoma? Is that what you're saying?
I'd like to talk about Petaluma and what's going on. I realize what you're...
I just was curious.
The direction that we're going...
I just was curious.
I want to talk about... I'm involved... I'll say this. I'm involved in a lot of things.
Okay.
In a lot of places.
Okay.
And the specifics of everything, it's just... It's getting into business that's not at hand here.
Fair enough.
I kind of like to maybe talk about more of... I mean, just the no gas here, when I first started watching this to now, and research that I'm now getting on the internet and starting to look, there's a company called H&S Energy. They've purchased 50 gas stations in Northern California. They have an investment here, and they seem to be big oil behind them. And is it possible that, I mean, a group like this is getting involved? And as much as I appreciate grassroots effort, it seems as though that the campaign here is moving into a bigger level. I mean, Jason, you can research this yourself and start seeing, but it really is. I think it's about competition. It seems to be something is getting a little bit off.
So I don't know. I mean, if we have evidence that there's a direct connection between these groups, fine. If we don't, it's very speculative.
All I'm saying is I'm curious who H&S Energy is, and I can't seem to get a lot of energy.
Are they involved in the no gas?
We don't know. And these are the questions I'm asking.
Okay.
Are they involved? And then there's...
We could ask them.
You know, I can't seem to get any answers. I keep asking the group, and they don't be transparent.
Well, that's
and they do not want to talk about where their financing is coming. And we've been in campaigns. This is quite a slick campaign going on. It's not just grassroots people sitting in a room deciding how we're going to run a campaign. This is much bigger, and there needs to be more transparency.
Right. I was hoping that we were going to touch a little bit on the concerns of no gas here, and one of them being air quality.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, we talked about that. Do you have the numbers up today?
Which numbers?
You.
Oh, well, that was just from the Sierra Club
the Sierra
letter,
Club. Okay.
Talking about how... we talked about it before, that this project is based on 2013 standards from the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, and the claim is that, or the position is that because it's a 2018 project, that it should be complying with the current standards. And there have been some updates. I was on their website earlier in relating to ozone and some other things. Back in 2015, that was updated. So I'm just curious if that's being looked at in terms of your response for mitigations, because if that's a major concern for people, if you were able to come around and go, yeah, well, now we've mitigated it, it would seem like that would be a win-win. I don't know if you have any information on that. But.
Well, I would love if that's the case. If I come forward and say, well, and actually, we have been. I mean, over the 6 years... We've done 14 studies. I think we're up to 16 studies. Over the last week, we've received about 2,000 pages of legal letters and peer reviews just hitting us like wildfire. And we've been responding one after another. This thing, I've never seen a gas station more studied than this one. Maybe there are around the country. There are actually a lot of efforts. If you Google it, you're going to see a lot of opposed 16-pump gas stations, especially on the East Coast, which is a little bizarre.
Who's sending this material besides Sierra Club?
The Sierra Club was just a letter on behalf of Richard Sashen, I believe is his name. He's with Sierra Club, and he is one of the appellants. We responded. Our expert consultants responded. There was a letter by Moira Sullivan, who is a constituent, also works for the EPA. She didn't respond in her professional capacity, but she responded as a constituent. We responded to that formally. The school district has sent two letters. We've responded to both of those. The late hit on Friday night and Monday afternoon came from an attorney in Sacramento named Saluri, who's recently fought a couple of basketball arenas and I think is involved in another gas station litigation in Sacramento. And that was on behalf of No Gas Here. And so we've responded on the traffic, the air quality we're responding to right now. I'll say that our air quality consultant is outstanding. Staff here, the M Group, as you know, is a contract planning group that works all around the Bay Area, and they've worked with our air quality group in many locations before. So very reputable. I think some of the late hits that we've gotten have been from groups outside, from Los Angeles, consultants in Los Angeles, attorneys in Los Angeles, Sacramento, which isn't that far away. But there are nuances. There's been a lot thrown on the wall, which is inaccurate, but we just have to keep responding to just one after another.
And what is the connection between all the legal information that you're receiving from L.A., Sacramento, and the No Gas Here group?
They're all efforts to discredit our application, and it's very common in CEQA. California has CEQA, and it originated to do wonderful things to protect the environment, and it's also been used as a tool to delay projects or kill projects.
This is why I keep saying transparency and money. When you see a 59-page letter from an attorney, when you know that an attorney is coming to a council meeting, that's a lot of money. Where is this group getting their money? And I think it's
assuming it's not pro bono or
I mean, I asked if it was pro bono, and I'm not getting any information back. You're not going to get pro bono from an attorney and then from a place in LA.
I think
that's not how pro bono works.
The questions
to follow through is you're talking about this 2018 standard, whatever that means, because we're not sure. But there's also a Valero gas station on Washington Street that just got approval for renovation. And it's right next door to an apartment building with windows facing the station. This group doesn't seem to be concerned about the people that live in that building. And so,
is that the Valero that just got the $50,000 fine?
Though that was back in 2014. That's the same Valero. And that is another company. I believe that company might have been involved in the lawsuits earlier, the other six lawsuits.
Right. Maybe the people of the apartment weren't concerned about it.
Well, maybe, but you could say the same thing with the school until people started going and talking talking to people. So, but it seems as though if you're really concerned about the health of children and people, you would be watching this a little bit closer.
I think one of the areas I've heard as a complaint is that there hasn't been outreach from Safeway. But according to your site, there's actually been a bit. What it talks about here is it's 5 years of public discussion and debate, 10-plus city council and planning commission meetings, with feedback provided via public comment, elected officials, 4 resubmittals of application until deemed complete, approval by Pedestrian and Bicycle Advisory Committee, multiple on-site meetings with city staff, and you talk about community outreach, 30-plus press articles, editorials, op-eds, letters to the editor. You mentioned 2,000-plus yes votes on supporter petitions. That I'm curious about because that must be a different petition than the one you have linked on this site, because the one you have linked to puts that number, I believe, around 500. So were there other petitions that aren't referenced?
Yeah, so in 2014, 2014.
They should be maybe linked here because it's kind of, I was confused.
In 2014, there was an effort to put a moratorium on gas stations linked to grocery stores, which would have effectively tried to stop the Safeway project.
With the city of Petaluma?
With the city of Petaluma. And so that took about a year. Then there was the fee hike to $2 million. So there were petitions running at that point.
What about the fee hike?
Well, I wish we had time to talk about that,
but we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. And is there anything closing that you want to say?
I just want to thank you for all your time and all of the questions. I absolutely, in full transparency, you know, hit me with the hard questions because I need to be able to respond in the true interest of transparency and outreach.
Sure.
We welcome those. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, and then the next hearing is scheduled with the City Council.
15th,
October 15th, 6 o'clock, 6:30. What time is it?
6:45.
Yeah, okay, so.
I haven't looked, but I will.
Yeah. So
this is ongoing.
It was actually supposed to be this past Monday, and the timing of this,
yes,
we thought we were going to be having you here with us
afterwards.
So we might have to have you back again. I don't know. Would it be appropriate to have you and Adrian and the three of us sit together?
I am fully open.
And you?
I would welcome any invitation.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. And you've been listening to KPCA 103.3 FM. This has been Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, here with co-hosts Jason Davies and Janice Cater-Thompson. And we will be back here to talk with you again next Friday, 11 to noon. We'll see you then.
Great.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.